Hello and welcome back to your next lesson. And in this lesson, Kelly and I are going to talk about your workouts. And you can have very effective marketing, whether it's online or off. You can look the part and do everything else. However, if you don't actually facilitate the workouts correctly to the highest level, with good form, proper sequence, and with all the nuances that we speak about, then you're going to have lackluster results from your clients. It's going to be more difficult to have client retention, and ultimately, you'll spend more money trying to grow your business when the easiest thing to do is just be a phenomenal instructor with the information we've given you, plus your base of knowledge that you have coming into the program. So, Kelly, let's begin at the top. There's five components to the workout.
This is really what makes the program. We know that these workouts are very dependent on you, the coach. We know that it's dependent on the instructor. I mean, think of any class that you've taken, whether it was a college course or a workout or any time that you're going to take your precious time to be captured by somebody else, you want to make sure that it's just going to be incredible or you're not going to waste your time. So we've developed these workouts so that they're very strategic and they're highly effective use of time, and we know that you are going to enjoy leading them. We've taken all the guest workouts for you. So we've taken a lot of time to put these workouts together. And John's team actually went in, his team from Nesta, and came up with the structure of the workout itself, which we have down to about 55 minutes. That's about how much time you should allow start to finish for your actual class. And his team came up with these five components, meaning that they were the most effective way in the most effective order and the most effective amount of time to be conducting each session for the best possible results. And the way it breaks down is that we have a warm-up that's about 5 minutes, speed, agility, and quickness that lasts 10 minutes, 20 minutes of strength and conditioning, 10 minutes of cardio, and then 5 minutes of stretch. And John will break all of these down.
Well, obviously we need a good warm-up. A dynamic warm-up is essential, and we also want to make the warm-ups fun and real complementary to the remainder of the program.
So what we've done is created 12 unique warm-ups, so everyone is different, but they are all dynamic. There's no static stretching in any of these warm-ups. Some of the warm-ups in and of themselves will be very challenging for your clients. And one of the things that we want to encourage you to do before you lead any of these classes is to do these yourself. So the warm-up is going to last about 5 minutes, and you're moving, your clients are moving the entire time. Purpose is get the body temperature up, get the body prepared to work hard, get the blood pumping, get a little bit of a sweat going, and be prepared mentally and physically for the next 50 minutes of the program.
And then, of course, speed, agility, and quickness, SAQ. Some trainers do this extensively. Others, this is probably very new to them. And so before I turn it over to you, Kelly, I just want to give them the word of caution that there's a lot of people who, just like you, are unfamiliar with teaching this. Perhaps they're unfamiliar with doing this. And because maybe in the past preceding this, even though they have a fitness base, they've been doing things in a linear motion and in the sagittal plane and not much else. And so when you start adding in different multi-planar, multi-axial movements and, you know, in a group setting, there's a lot of energy and a lot of stuff going on. There's also a lot for them to think about, and you want to make sure that you're cognizant of their ability to have proprioception, that they do have enough space to move, that they have the proper footwear, and again, that your warm-up was sufficient to where they're able to perform these exercises safely and appropriate for their ability level. So be cognizant of how to scale up or down each of these movements, specifically with the speed, agility, and quickness.
And that's correct, and this is where you are going to really need to use your judgment as an instructor and use your experience. Of all the segments, this is the one that you might need to really break it down, slow it down, allow more time for rest and recovery initially, and then ultimately they should be able to build up to doing 10 straight minutes of speed, agility, and quickness. Right off the bat, you might not have a client who can do 10 straight minutes of jumping rope. We have many combinations of jump rope sequences that are very challenging. Heart rates will be at a maximum and pounding. So this is the session that we caution you to monitor them. They're going to be traveling forward, backward, sideways. Some of it is high impact, high intensity, plyometric work. They're working in circles. They're backpedaling. They're doing things that maybe they've never done or haven't done since elementary school. There is balance work that's involved as well. We have a whole segment that's based on balance, and especially even if people are fit, as they age, balance is one of the first things to go. So these are things that it's so important that they work on them. This should be a fun segment, although it's going to be very, very challenging for them. I think it's something that they're going to sort of have a love-hate relationship with. They'll look forward to it. But we're working on foot drills. We're working on quickness, reaction time. We just have a combination of running drills to help build up their running and endurance. Lots of foot drills that we're going to be doing, and all of these are laid out for you. We're using minimal equipment. A lot of times we're saying, okay, use your imagination. You're running over hurdles. Use your imagination. You're running through rings. So, again, we try to keep the equipment really minimal, but you'd be surprised at what a great time that they can have just using imaginary ladders and so forth. So have fun with these. Lay them out. Try them yourself. Depending on the size of your group, you may really think about how you need to manage this in the space that you have. If some of you are combined to a smaller space, you might need to figure out a way to do stations to set this up so that everyone is moving productively throughout the time. So this segment mostly just uses cones, and that's about all that you're going to need to run this session.
And then next we move on to strength. Now, your first question may be, as compared to cardio, you know, strength is 20 minutes and cardio is 10. Why would we do that? And the answer is simple, because with this type of strength training workout, it's done at a higher intensity. So your heart rate's going to be elevated to where, you know, obviously you don't use just one energy system. You're moving in and out of different systems throughout the workout. But it'll be at a higher level to where even with the strength training, you're still going to be burning some fat as you would with cardio training. But also, the whole workout is a pretty high intensity, high energy level, low downtime. So in a sense, it's almost like doing a combo of cardio with the strength. And as you know, because of all the latest research, when you do this combination with these intervals, with this cross-training, you can have tremendous fat loss and fat burning as caloric expenditure with less cardio, with more strength because of the structure. So that's why there's 20 minutes of strength, because we want to add as much muscle density as possible while keeping the intensity high using lighter weight.
John, for those clients who are wearing heart rate monitors, we expect them to be burning anywhere between 500 and 700 calories in the 55 minutes. In fact, just this morning, I took one of my groups through an impact workout, and I had a woman who was 62 years old who burned 570 calories this morning. So, yes, the strength segment is 20 minutes and the cardio is 10 minutes, but the heart rate is up and it's up in intervals throughout the entire time. And truthfully, that speed, agility, and quickness segment could really be counted as cardio time because those heart rates are up. So for the strength segment, the way we broke it down, remember these workouts are 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, ideally, or perhaps Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. But it's broken down so that the first workout of the week is legs, primarily legs, but we're still getting in some other major body parts. The second workout of the week is primarily upper body, and then the third workout of the week is primarily core. But again, we're still getting all of the major muscle groups every day. And for the workouts that we chose, you are going to see some new exercises, maybe that you've never done before, some different variations on exercises. We wanted to make these fun, so these definitely go beyond the basics. Depending on your group, you might need to slow this down a little bit and teach them, for example, a basic squat before they can understand a gliding squat or a smile squat or a curtsy lunge, for example. So use your expertise and knowledge again when you are conducting these exercises, and throughout the entire 20 minutes, you are constantly cueing this group. So, for example, if a strength exercise is going to last 60 seconds, for that entire minute you're giving them cues about range of motion, about joint positioning, about breathing, about alignment, where their eyes are, and so forth. So make sure that you are using your judgment. All of these exercises are on video for you. We give you demonstrations and cues. Again, we can't stress enough, do these yourself before you try and teach somebody else how to do them, and if you need to make modifications, we're going to rely on your expertise to do that with your group. For the equipment for the strength, we're basically using dumbbells and bands and some medicine balls. And for the dumbbells, you're going to have to, again, use your judgment. We ideally want them to go as heavy as they can for each exercise so that they're challenged. Beginners should fatigue in about 45 seconds, and then those intermediate and advanced up to about a minute. So by the end of that minute, they really should be pretty fatigued. There is not a lot of rest between exercises. I mean, as quickly as you can get them up and into the next exercise, that's how fast this is. So not a lot of rest time, very little downtime, just enough to grab a sip of water, grab their next piece of equipment, and move on.
And let me tell you, I remember during the taping how challenging these workouts are, and I know we've said that in the past, but you know, they're not super heavy, obviously, because of the nature of it. But these are tough workouts, and you're going to have to remember that and be cognizant of that as you're working with your clients. You know, regardless of what they've done in the past, this is going to be different. Just like you, when you switch up anything and you stress the muscles in a different way, your body responds differently, and sometimes it's not ready to respond. So just be aware of that.
And the exercises are not repeated, so even though there are 12 workouts in a month, they might only be doing one exercise once in a month. So we're not doing a lot of multiple sets here because each exercise is hitting every muscle group just a little bit differently. So instead of doing three sets of lunges, we might do a stationary lunge, a falling lunge, a Bulgarian lunge, a curtsy lunge. So we threw in a lot of variety. So for most people, this is really going to be very different. It's going to mix things up for them, and they're going to feel a little more sore than they have felt in a long time, which is good. And just remember to progress things based on your client's abilities. Don't hit them with too much at once.
And, of course, we have to do cardio. So, again, there's 10 minutes of cardio. And the intensity is high. You know, this isn't going to be your 65 percentile, you know, old school thought where people just want to get in the zone and burn, quote, just fat, which doesn't always happen, as we know. This is pretty high intensity. So you're going to have to, you know, if you're using polar heart rate monitors, fantastic. That's obviously the most accurate way to go. And then, of course, rate of perceived exertion, good observation of what they're doing. Sometimes what I've seen trainers do in the past, and there's always exceptions, but sometimes the trainers are so focused on intensity that they let the form falter. So we have to be very cognizant that the form stays solid while we still reach those higher levels of intensity.
And these cardio workouts are fun. I mean, we don't just say go out and run for 10 minutes. Every session has a purpose. It's productive. They'll be engaged. They'll be challenged. And for you as the coach, I don't want you to be fearful of, well, maybe I'm not a group fitness instructor. I'm not going to stand up there and, you know, get on the 8 count and move with the music. It's not necessary. If you're going to use music, we encourage it. It's fun. It's in the background. But you don't need to be choreographing each move here. We're doing things like line drills that are very easy to orchestrate with a group of people. We're doing things that are fun and sort of have maybe a game component to it where people don't realize that their heart rates are getting up because they're just having so much fun and there's some objective that they're working towards. We give them some empowerment to choose some things. For example, we do something called a medicine ball circle pass where there's somebody in the middle and they're quickly passing a medicine ball back and forth around a circle, and they're calling out the exercises. So it gives them some power, and you give them the choices of the exercises. We do things like whistle drills. Again, we get into some more jumping rope. We do intensity runs, but again, they have a purpose where they're meeting up with a partner, so we're using partner exercises. We're doing things like Indian runs and giving them a list of things to complete in a given amount of time for so many repetitions. And then we do fun things that maybe they've never done, combinations of chariot runs. And these might sound foreign to you now, but they're all done on the video, and they're very extensively explained so that you will easily get them. But a lot of things are done in patterns and just things that are simple but fun and probably things that your clients have never done and they're going to have a great time doing.
And then the stretching or flexibility work, you know, this is also, I think what's important about this is a time to really focus on your cueing technique, because people have the time to apply what you're saying and how you're coaching them with greater ease because of the nature of stretching. You're doing it more slowly. And I think that all too often, unless someone was a, and I'm generalizing, I understand that. In many cases, a fitness professional does not cue properly with stretching as they would with other exercises unless they have a yoga or Pilates background. And I think that's unfortunate. And again, I know there's exceptions to this. But this is the time where you can really get to know your class, to bond with the people, to also see what's going on with their body, because now it's moving a little slower. You can see where something may be catching or is stuck or is foreshortened or elongated or rotated or supinated, whatever it is. You'll have that opportunity to do that during this stretching segment. So be observant and really focus on giving good cues.
And we do a combination of different stretches. Sometimes they'll all be lying. They might all be kneeling, all be standing, all be sitting. But you'll get lots of ideas for different stretches that you can use. And the stretches are based on the strength workouts that were done that day. So if it was a leg day, we're doing primarily leg stretching, which makes sense. And again, they should leave feeling energized, feeling accomplished. So you're setting the tone for what's left of their day, which may be their entire day, during the stretching segment. So good time to give them some positive feedback about how they're doing and talk about what's to come, work on some deep breathing, relaxation. So whatever experiences that you have that you can add to this, if you have extensive stretching background, then that would be wonderful to interject that in.
And then we're going to shift over to equipment, the standard equipment, and then your bonus equipment. So again, we really wanted you to be able to conduct an impact program with a negligible investment in equipment, but also if you decide to do it outdoors or if you have multiple locations or if you have a small car, whatever it is, we want you to be able to do it to where it's easy to facilitate, easy to carry the equipment, and also just low in cost.
In your manual, you will find an equipment list, and you'll see that it's a pretty short list. One of the things that you will absolutely need will be some dumbbells. Now, it's up to you if you want to provide those dumbbells. If you have a facility and you have a studio and they're there and available, then wonderful. But as John said, if you're going to be outside and you have 20 people in your impact program, you probably don't want to be hauling around the dumbbells. It is perfectly fine to ask them to provide their own dumbbells. Most people have them, or they can pick them up very inexpensively at a retail store. And if they're bringing their own dumbbells, they probably want to have at least two sizes so that they can alternate between as they need to throughout the class and based on the exercise for the muscle group. So I would recommend that women are using anywhere from 5 up to 15 pounds, and men are going to go anywhere from 8 up to maybe 20 pounds would be a maximum. I would suggest that you always have a couple of pairs with you, because people may forget or they may have the wrong size. And then as they continue on several impact sessions, you want to encourage them to pick up some heavier dumbbells. Something else that we use in the program is a medicine ball. You do not need a medicine ball for each person, but you probably want to have about 4 so that you can use them in groups and with partner work. So as your group grows and you're making more income and you can add to your list, you might want to pick up a few more. Jump ropes, very inexpensive. You can get them for about $6, $7 a piece. You do want to have at least one rope for each participant. So I would order whatever you think your maximal number will be initially, and then as the program grows, again, add on. You also need some cones. I recommend the cones that are available through Perform Better. They are heavy. They won't blow away if you're outside. They don't move if they get knocked into. And they're also flexible if they get stepped on. And I would suggest getting about 12 cones. And then, again, depending on the size of your group, you might want to expand that. We also use the bands with the handles, which you can get anywhere. Just make sure that you're checking them and that they are new and there's no cuts or wear to your bands. You probably want to replace those about every year, and you do need one band per participant. We also did use a step or a box. If you're outside, you can use a curb or a short wall or a bleacher, but there are a couple of exercises, both cardio and strength, that use that. If that's not available to you, can you do it without the box? Yes, but it would be better if you had it. Something else that we use is one of the runs that we did, we use a baton. But if you don't have a baton, you can use a light dumbbell or really any object that they can pass along. If you're outside, we might use some chalk to write things down outside. If you're inside, you can put them on note cards or just index cards. And sometimes we use some tape just to show markers or borders. And other than that, that is everything you will need besides a stopwatch and possibly a whistle.
Yep, I think simplicity is best. You know, sometimes people get too propped out, let's say, and they think that more accessories will make it more exciting. And sometimes that's the case, but it's your personality, your ability to teach, and having a great sense of community, and obviously a tough and appropriately challenging workout. That's really what matters.
So if you have access to kettlebells and you know, other equipment, and you want to incorporate that in, then that's wonderful. You know, we are not discouraging that, but it's not necessary initially to run an effective program.
And so let's do a review of the session and how it works. So the program begins on the first Monday of each month. Now, I'm going to skip ahead just a second, and then we'll go back. That doesn't mean that in some of the other programs, how we've done 4 weeks on, 1 week off, 4 weeks on, 2 weeks off, or, you know, there's different combinations. This is ongoing. But as far as a structure within the ongoing process, it begins in the first Monday of each month, because then there's, you know, some micro cycles that will happen within each month's program where people can jump into it and kind of know what to expect, and then they can progress at their own rate, but each week will progress within the month. So, Kelly, go ahead and add to that.
As you're selling this program, you might initially sell it as a month, and then it is completely and entirely up to you in that month's time to thrill them, to exceed their expectations, to get them extraordinary results. And then, of course, you should expect 90% of them to continue on. But really, you're selling this initially as, let's get you in great shape in the next month. Get them through that. So start with that small chunk, and they're getting a pre-assessment. They're getting a post-assessment at the end of the month. You also want to make sure that you do at least one nutrition seminar a month. So this makes you aware on your calendar, okay, we're starting a new month. I want to make sure I have that nutrition seminar so that anyone who joined within that month gets this information, because we know how crucial that is going to be to their results. But we are encouraging people to join at any time. If somebody comes in on a Wednesday in the middle of the month and says, can I start tomorrow, you want to get them into that very next available workout session that they can. So don't discourage anyone, don't hold them up, but just make sure they know that at the first of the next month there's going to be a nutrition seminar. And really, you can do their assessment at any time, but then you get them on the schedule with the group assessment with everyone else.
And another thing here regarding, you know, how the process works as far as the cyclical nature of it, the debits are done on what's called an EFT, which means electronic funds transfer. It's an auto debit each month. And you can decide how you want to structure that, whether it's just ongoing or you do it for 3, 6, 9 months. You know, there's a lot of different philosophies on that. And there's some people who are going to go for it ongoing and other people who are not. So obviously, you would want to offer them the thing that will serve them best and also is the best for your business, both, taking both facts into consideration. So if you are one of the people who have decided to use the Impact Platinum web program, all that programming for the cart and auto renewals and all that is part of the program, and that's built in. If you choose to do it on your own, you still can do it with something like One Shopping Cart or AWeber or some of the other ones that are available. And I'll have some more information for you in the manual. It's just that with our turnkey web solution, that's all taken care of for you. And there's a little bit of work involved hooking it up with your bank and so on, but you're going to do that with any business no matter what. It takes a couple days to go through and for them to realize that, yep, you're a legitimate business and you're not going to be doing credit card fraud and that this is the real deal, and just one of the necessary things that you have to do to be able to accept credit cards and do this. But if you don't accept credit cards, you're going to fail. And if you don't have an automated program, it's unlikely you will succeed at the highest level. And if you don't integrate it all in with the web, you also will not achieve your highest level of success. So that's why we've taken care of all that for you. So look for more information in the manual and also information about the Impact Platinum website solution program, which will take care of all that for you. So it will explain it in detail rather than having me go through it right here.
If somebody doesn't sign up for auto-renew that first month, make it your priority to get them on auto-renewals. You want this as systematized, as seamless as possible. The last thing you want to start doing is policing who's paid, who didn't pay, and so forth. So this is by far the best way to go. You generate a report after the beginning of each month, and you'll see exactly what your income is and who's paid. And it makes it easier for them. What you're basically telling them is that they don't need to go back on each month and register and put a payment through manually. It's all done automatic, and they really enjoy it themselves.
Now, we did go ahead and talk about that people can join any time, and obviously you'd never want to discourage them. And so let's go ahead and move on to the fact that it's 3 times a week, and same days and times. This structure is good because it's predictable for them as far as them arranging their schedule. The fact that it's only 3 days a week makes it easier for them to get there. And because it's so high intensity, they need the days off. But if for the right person, they could go for a jog or a swim or ride their bike or do a yoga class if they choose on those off days. But they certainly wouldn't want to do Impact again. They're going to need to mix it up. But some people, man, this is going to be enough for them. They're not going to have the ability to or the desire to do anything else. But that's the beauty of the program. 3 days a week and you're done.
And when you're choosing your time for these 3 days, look at what your busiest times are for training or the busiest times that you see classes are full, and start with that as the best place to start. We're recommending you start with one class, get that class going for a month or two or three and fill it, and then start to add more classes. But I wouldn't add more than one class a month, because you're better off having one or two classes that are full than to have 4 classes with 5 people in it. We want you to earn the most money per hour, reach the most people possible, still make it personalized. But don't let yourself go down that road where you are led by people who say, oh, put on a 4:30 class, I'll bring my girlfriends. I promise you, they don't. So be very careful about overburdening yourself with classes, because it does take a lot of energy to conduct these, and you want it to be worth your time.
That happens a lot, where the instructors want to be accommodating, and you want to help out your clients, and that you just end up stretching yourself too thin. The whole point of this, from a business perspective, just from the business perspective, is to work less, to have more fun, and to make more money. And you won't have as much fun if you become a slave to the grind of doing this throughout the entire day. Just as with boot camp or with anything else that we've learned over all these years, offering one program once a day and really filling it up and thrilling them is the best way to go. You can do a second time. Maybe it's in the evening, or maybe it's you do one in the winter when the moms are done getting their kids off to school about 9 a.m. Sometimes that can work very well also. Those are things you have to search in your geographic area and see what the health clubs are doing for their group exercise classes and when are they most popular, because your program will be more popular and will yield better results. Don't worry about going head-to-head with the same time that the clubs are offering the classes. All that tells you is that that's when their research of being in business for years has shown that their classes fill more easily. And so use that information to your advantage.
You will be surprised at how when you set the time, people will come. They will adjust their schedules. Initially, they might say that they can't, but if they really want to get in there, they will make an adjustment to make it. So don't drive yourself crazy by trying to move things around a lot. Find a time that you think is going to be the best time. Build it up. Stick with it. When it's full, add a second class.
55 minutes with little rest. I like it that it's under an hour for a couple reasons. One is that it's a little more appealing because people are so tight on time that the fact that it's under an hour, but yet it's full of quality content and the experience, that is appealing to them and good for you from a marketing and business perspective. And the fact that there's little rest in 55 minutes, even though they're having a good time, they're glad it's over because it's so tough. So it has a lot of advantages like that. So in your marketing and in our marketing, as we go forward and as we get feedback from you, the certified impact instructor, we're going to find out how appealing and how people perceive that 55 minutes, and we're going to be coming up with new creative ads and artwork and things like that that are relative to the workout being less than an hour but still have a high caloric burn. So we'll be looking for feedback for that as well.
Gives them that 5 minutes where they don't feel so pressured, because in their mind they're still thinking that hour. So if they're watching the clock, they're going, oh, I got a few minutes, I can ask the instructor some questions, or I can socialize for a few minutes before I need to run off. And you know, if they have a child in daycare, that's probably going to run on the hour. So it just gives them a little bit of flexibility, or maybe they have 5 free minutes to go sit in the sauna or take a hot shower or just not be as pressured. So under 55 minutes, people like less than an hour. You know, they have in their mind that they should exercise about that much time every day anyway. And at 55 minutes, they're going to be pretty cooked. I mean, they're really going to be done, so they're going to be thankful that it's over when it is. And if you really feel they need it and you want to give them an extra minute or two of relaxation and breathing or just lying there in the dark, you know, it's probably okay if you do that as well. So that first week, they might need a little bit of extra stretching. So that 5 minutes, you know, gives you that little bit of an extra cushion if you need to take it.
And then the next item up was high intensity. We'll just go through this quickly because we have talked about it so much. It is a high intensity workout. Please be cognizant of the people's ability, because 55 minutes at this high of an intensity, I think you, the teacher, the instructor, when you go through this and you do it at the appropriate intensity and put yourself in that person's position where even though it's a non-competitive environment, people are going to be competitive in certain instances, you'll see that it's really, really tough. So what's one thing you want to button that segment up with, Kelly?
Something that one of my advanced exercisers said to me the other day was, Kelly, it really always impresses us, even though we've been with you for 3 years, how you are able to have so many different ability levels in one group, yet you keep everybody happy and you give them something for their ability. So I might say, okay, my advanced people, I want you to line up over here and do it this way. I want my joggers to line up over here and do it like this, and my walkers, I want you to come over here and do it this way. So if people can't keep the intensity up initially, which a lot of people, even fit people, are not going to be able to, you need to find a way to make them feel successful and feel like they are able and they're accomplishing something.
What's really different about Impact as compared to other things that we've done is there's specific formats, the 5 components. With a lot of the other programs, and for example with the Kung Fu Fitness, you know, there is structure, and but there's a lot of variabilities. With Impact, there's more overall structure because we wanted to make sure that things were done in the proper sequence and for the proper duration. You have some freedom, but we want you to also honor the structure that we've created.
And John, I've never seen anything like this. Of all the years I've been teaching group fitness, of the hundreds of different classes that I've taken, I have never seen anything formatted like this. It's just pulling together so many different things. It's athletic. It's fun. We've got some games involved. So the people are really going to look forward to each of these segments, and they're going to have their favorites and their not-so-favorites, but they're going to know that they can expect a certain thing each day when they come in, and that these segments are broken down a certain way, and that all of their body components are being challenged, and they're going to finish up the class with a great stretch and feeling great, and it's not like anything else they've ever done, and the results won't be either. The results just will be extraordinary.
And so, you know, you just spoke about adjusting for different abilities. The biggest thing when adjusting for different abilities is to focus on keeping continuity of the class. And if you have to explain something to someone at a different ability level, always do it in a very positive way. You would use language such as, for those of you who aren't feeling quite up to it, or for some of you who don't have quite as much experience, or for those of you who are a little more advanced or want more of a challenge, that's the kind of language you would use before you decide to say, you know, do this or that. You wouldn't say, you know, for those of you who aren't strong or who are just beginners, you know, you don't want to ever use language that would create separatism in the class or demoralize people in any way. You just have to be very careful with the language that you use. And also, what is really important is get to it. Make the distinctions, give the people the appropriate options, and keep the group together and keep the group moving so you keep the continuity. Otherwise, people can grow frustrated with a lot of different levels in the class or discouraged, and we want to avoid that.
We did say to adjust for their abilities, not for their disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone can do something, regardless of what condition or special need that they may have. Work around it. Find a way to strengthen it. Find a way to get it more balanced with the rest of their body. And you might need further education yourself. You might look into some type of a rehab certification. You know, we don't know what your background is as far as that coming into it. So if you need more training in that area, then we highly recommend that you do that. But everyone has the ability to get out there and do something productive for their bodies. In fact, they need it more than anybody. So don't discourage them from coming in. I mean, short of somebody needing a physical therapist rather than a fitness program, you should be able to get just about anyone in there and help them have a great experience, feel good, and see results.
Our next item up is how the intensity builds each week of the month. Now, again, we've gone over this a little bit, and each week's progression is going to be based on a few factors. How many new people are in the class, the overall ability of the class, perhaps the size of the class, and if you're outside, it might be determinant on weather conditions. If it's colder, you're going to have to be more cautious as you increase intensity. So these are the kind of things that you have to consider.
They will find that when they come back at the beginning of the month, it is slightly easier, but not a whole lot. Not that they feel they're not getting a great workout, but by week four of the month, it is pretty high intensity-wise. So we just cycle it a little bit. There's a little bit of cyclic training that goes on throughout the month as it builds, and then you get a little bit more of a break back on week one.
And so we've already talked about making adjustments for ability levels and progression, and let's add on to that a little bit and speak briefly on diversification. So you cannot let the people get bored. And if you're bored, I guarantee you your clients are bored.
You know, if you're doing a regular squat, do a squat with a curl and an overhead press. So there's ways for you to do things, or even facing a different direction, or even if you're normally inside, let's just go out on the grass, or anything that just gives them a change. If you're normally inside, but you can open up the doors or the windows and just get some light and some fresh air. So it could be a change to the environment. It could be a change to the intensity of the exercise. It could be adding balance challenges in. It could be partnering people up. So there's subtle things that you can do to bring your education and your personality into things to make it more fun as well. So you can look at all the exercises and sort of brainstorm a little bit and think, okay, well, how can I make this just slightly different, but still safe and not crazy, but just something that makes them focus a little bit differently.
And then the last segment for this is education, but we call it edutainment. And I think that is really a great phrase or even perspective on how to perceive this. If I think back to all of the fitness professionals who I know do a great job, and you know, I'm friends with Jay Blatnick, and he doesn't know I'm mentioning his name now, but he's a phenomenal instructor, a great teacher, and he doesn't have a master's degree in exercise physiology and 900 certifications, although he is well educated, and he's well educated in business as well. He's an entertainer, and he really engages the people. And I think of another one of my friends, Shailene Johnson. And the reason that she does well, and again, she's educated as well, but she doesn't have a PhD in biomechanics or something, but she is a great instructor, and it's because she's entertaining, she's engaging, she cares, she's charismatic, she has a way with her words, she captivates people. And there's a lot of other people that do this as well. I'm friends with Tamalee Lee Webb, who did all the Buns of Steel. Now, she does have a solid educational base, and yet the reason that she's done so well is because of the structure of how she teaches a class, and it's fun and it's exciting. And, you know, think of the people who have done well and gone on to do big things in fitness, whether you agree with their philosophy or not. Let's, for example, Richard Simmons. Richard Simmons is far from being an educated fitness professional, but let's be honest, he's entertaining. And the reason he has done so well is not because he understands joint function even close to how you do, but because he is entertaining, because he is fun to watch, he's unpredictable to some degree. And I think that these qualities of these people are really what allows them to become successful and to fill up classes and sell millions and millions of videos or programs or, you know, whatever it is. And it's because they do edutainment. So, and I know you're a huge fan of this, Kelly, so I want your perspective on it as well.
When I think about two of our most successful adventure boot camp coaches, they both have a background in entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to one of them yesterday. His name is Jeff. He's here in Texas. And he said to me, Kelly, I swear I burn as many calories as they do during the workout because I am just pouring into them and I'm having so much fun and I'm running around and I'm jumping. And I mean, you listen to him and you want to take his class. I mean, you go, where? I wish you were closer. I want to, you know, anything that he does, he just draws you in and you want to buy it. You want to be a part of it. He makes it exciting. He makes it funny. And you might be saying, well, Kelly, I'm not very exciting. I'm not very funny. And that's just not my personality. You know what? There's still things that you can do to draw them in. You can tell stories. You can let them know that you are a human being and you made mistakes and you did silly or embarrassing things. And they love that. It makes it fun for them. So just let yourself really open up a little bit. Let your personality come out. If you tend to be shy, which I kind of am, you know, just find a way that's your own way that you're comfortable with that eventually will develop. But if you're just going to stand there and do a bicep curl, they're going to feel like, I can get this anywhere and maybe for some less money. So you need to really draw that out, make it fun. You're going to have some people in your class who are just funny, who are willing to play along, share their goals, share their pain or whatever it might be. So sort of use them a little bit when you're going to demonstrate something. You might bring them up and they'll sort of add something to the class. But you need to make it fun. People are starving for socialization. They are just really looking to connect with people. And you want them to look forward to coming. You don't want it to be something that's going to be a drag. And it is hard work, and they're going to have to exert themselves. So as much as you can, you want to be recognizing them, rewarding them, praising them, pouring into them, whatever it's going to take. So if you need to go out of your comfort zone a little bit and take some chances about cracking a joke or putting yourself out there, don't be afraid to do it. You won't regret it.
I like you always finish with you won't regret it, and I think that's a good way to close this segment, the whole segment of the program with the audio lessons, and that is that I'm speaking to the students now, you've made a wise choice. You will be successful with impact. What's essential is that you follow the plan. If things get tough, whether it's dealing with people or business or the economy or your schedule, just pause for a moment, get some clarity, and seek our advice too. We're here for you, and that's part of what the ongoing coaching and support is all about. We want you to be successful, and we're here to ensure your success, but you have to reach out to us. Aside from what we will have scheduled as part of the community and part of the ongoing coaching, you have to reach out to us so we can help you. If you don't tell us, we don't know, and we want to be there for you. So thank you so much, and we wish you the best of luck, and we also look forward to meeting you and talking with you with the ongoing coaching sessions for the Impact Program.